working there, Jonas? Perfect. Do you think you could turn the light up above my head here on? There we are. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. When you're sitting there and you're waiting to go preach, it's always like, this is going to be easy. And then you get up here and it's like, oh, this isn't that easy. So here we are. And today I want to talk to you about friendship. And the passage that I chose and that Nick read. Is this thing not working very good? It's crackling. Okay. There we go. That's better. Yeah, I'm talk about friendship this morning. And I think it's a very relatable message. I think everybody here can relate to the idea of having friends. And what do you think of friendship? Do you give it a lot of thought? What's that? Exclude Facebook friends, yeah. And that's what what's that? Oh, I don't know who that is. But friendship is a broad term. And you can consider a friend maybe just somebody that you just met or maybe somebody that you've known for many years and have a deep friendship. But when we look at the Bible, we can see that friendship is God's design. And if we turn our Bibles to Genesis, let's look there, we'll see that God had Adam there. And if we look at Genesis chapter 2, get there. And so in verse 18, it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And then go over to verse 24, and there it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so God designed us for relationship, for friendship. When Adam was in the garden, God had given the work of caring for the garden, and he realized that, oh, this is a lot of work for Adam. He needs a helper. He needs somebody to work with him and help take care of the garden together. And that would have been their common work that they did together. And we know that in a lot of our friendships, there's commonality, right? We have common interests that we can talk about and discuss. Typically, friendship needs a common interest that it'll grow from. So God designed friendship. And we see that friendship that God had designed with Adam and Eve was for life. It was the idea that they would build a relationship together and they would be together for life. And so this design was also part of us being designed in God's image. We consider the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. You know, when we are growing up, I'm just thinking back to when I was a kid, and when we're kids, friends are very important. And I'm thinking back to when I was a kid and one of my friends moved away and move this out of the way here, sorry. Just falling apart here. Yeah, when I was a kid and one of my friends moved away and we were very close friends and it was actually don't know, the first time I really felt really kind of, I was kind of heartbroken over my friend moving away. And you know, I think for kids, it's easy to relate. As adults, I think sometimes we tend to withdraw from people, maybe in some ways, and not as close in our friendships, not as easy to make friends. I think often we have motives in our friendships that we tend to be with people who have the same interests, which is natural. Nothing wrong with that, and we have the same goals in life, and that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. We can see it right from childbirth, right? A child is drawn to his mother. Mother can feed him, and that's good. That's the way God designed that. And so there's nothing wrong with having friends with people that have the same interests. And often, though, what happens is that we have these common interests, and there's many different things that we could be involved in together and with our friends, whether it's work or family, maybe you like hiking or photography or hunting or sports, or maybe you go to the same school as your friends, maybe you serve in the church together or in the community. All these things are great, and they create common interests together. And they are things that we can look at and say, God wanted us to enjoy those things together. So we develop our relations based around these things. We see that is part of God's design, and it brings joy in our lives, and we can enjoy things together. But as we go through life, the thing that will inevitably come up in all of these relationships is the brokenness of life. And I don't know that we're all prepared for that in our relationships, are we? It's usually the part that we try to avoid. And when we face that in our friendships, these friendships, they're tested, right? We see people struggling, and we sometimes watch from a distance, and we kind of consider, okay, well, I don't know if I can help, or maybe that's going to cost me if I'm going to help that person, and can I handle the cost, the time, and the emotional effort? I think we would all say that we would want to help our friends, but I don't think that's what we usually sign up for, right? When we were friends with somebody, whether it's at work or in sports or whatever, and you have a friend that's going through a tough time, it's not that you built that friendship planning to go through hard times together, right? So, and that's partly because, we often have our own struggles, right? We often have our own struggles in life. And so it's important for us to recognize that when we get into a friendship, that the things that we typically focus on in that relationship are the things that brought us into that relationship. If it's a work friend, then you talk about work. If you're into sports and you have friends on your hockey team or whatever, and you talk about hockey, or maybe you're into hunting, you'll talk about hunting. So those are the things that you'll typically talk about, and that's often, sad to say, that's often the depth of our relationships with a lot of people. So when this problem arises in a relationship that's outside of the interest that we have that friendship's based off of, we have to decide whether to help that person, and knowing that, you know, it's not going to, you know, it's not about us at that point, right? Often our relationships and friendships, it's somewhat about us and our happiness. And, you know, when you're helping somebody who's going through a tough time, that is, that costs you. That's not about you. That's about that person in that moment and the helping that person through that. If you turn in your Bibles over to Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, Corny shared in ABF this morning, and it was perfect. Because I almost wish I would have used his example there. You know, he had shared from Matthew, and was it Matthew? I can't remember. It was the Sermon on the Mount, and John the Baptist had just died, and Jesus and the disciples had gone and were spending time alone, and then the crowds came, and so. You know, it was at a cost to cost them their solitude, and they saw the need that the crowds had, and Jesus had compassion on them. And so similarly here, verse 30, I'll read there. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so here we have an example of somebody who didn't even know this, never mind being a friend, but didn't even know this man, and he decided to help him. And the ones who possibly maybe should have had more interest in helping the man didn't. And so this was all about the question that Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, this man here that helped this man who was helpless on the side of the road, he was his neighbor. And I think we can relate to that to friendship as well. So, learning to love each other, Jesus commands that. Let's turn over to John chapter 15. Okay, we'll start at verse 7 here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, but a servant, For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So Jesus commands his disciples to love each other. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. He tells them to love each other as I have loved you. And that is, the Father has loved him, so have I loved you. Why would Jesus command us to love each other? Well, I don't think he would have had to tell them if it would have been easy. And I think he knew them, and he knew that they needed to be told that they needed to love each other. And by now, these would have been friends. I imagine they all had a common interest in following the Lord, and they would have spent a lot of time together. They had a common interest. Jesus tells them to lay their lives down for each other. Now, when we think of laying our lives down, it's not only just a physical to death, but I think it is often just our own interests, our own just giving of ourselves. We are told, first of all, to remain in Christ, and we looked at that in verse 7, I believe. Verse 7, to remain in Christ. Remaining in Christ will give us the strength to lay our lives down. We won't run away from the problems, from the brokenness. We will love as Jesus loved. Life can't be just about us and ignore all the people around us. It's so easy to get caught up in our daily routine and interests, our own problems. We do have our own problems, that's for sure. And that's why we need each other. We need to help each other as believers. We need to become other-centered as we remain in Christ and follow Jesus' example. As friends in Christ, we have the most important thing in life in common. We have the knowledge of Jesus' love for us, for God's love for us. And we have the common mission of making disciples. Let's look at Hebrews in chapter 10. For a moment, we'll turn to verses 24 and 25. It says there, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As believers, our friendships should maintain a focus on our common love for the Lord. Isn't that so true in our relationships? We just stand around and talk about hockey. We all love the Lord, but we don't always focus on the Lord in our relationships, do we? And I'm not saying this as one who has this figured out. Most of the time when I preach, it's usually things that I'm facing, I'm struggling with. In fact, this message here, I heard that one of my friends, I was talking to him, and he's going through a tough time, and I've known him for a long time, and the friendship has kind of, still, it's one of those guys you can always catch up with, just like that, and you feel like you're always on the same page, but haven't spent as much time with him over the years, and when I heard that he was going through a tough time, it hurt me a bit, because I felt like, oh man, maybe I have taken that friendship for granted, and maybe I haven't invested into it as much as I could have, and maybe some of that guilt is unwarranted, but I think it did just made me think about the time that we have, and how we need to be intentional in our relationships and what we focus on. I think we can get sidetracked with these other things in life, the things that I talked about before, the things that are, you know, as believers, we have these other interests. Mike, we like dirt biking. And man, if we had time, we could go dirt biking every weekend, right? Love that. That'd be great. But you know what? That's not as important as our common love for the Lord, right? But sometimes it doesn't work its way out in life like that. Sometimes it would be hard for somebody to look at us and say, well, they love the Lord. Well, they might see that we love dirt bikes, but they might not see that we love the Lord. And I think that between him and I, we need to make sure that our focus is on the Lord. And being here together, that is what we are doing here, worshiping the Lord together. And I think this is very key part of growing as friends in Christ. So we need to make sure that these things don't become the focus of our relationships. I wonder if we could be more intentional in our relationships to get to know people, to maybe ask a question that you might not know the answer to. You know, like when people ask how you're doing and just something to fill the time, fill the space. What if we actually wanted to know how that person was really doing? And are we willing to take the extra time to get to know people? And then when we do find out how those people are doing and we hear the baggage or the problems, are we going to encourage them? Are we going to take the time to encourage them, to pray for them, to think how to respond in those situations? I think we all have these opportunities in our lives. I don't think any of us would be able to say that we don't have people in our lives that where these opportunities are there. I don't like to see them as opportunities. I like to see them as people, right? People that we could affect, we could encourage. Let's not be afraid to go beyond just the normal things that bring us together, you know, for whether it's at work. You know, one guy told me, is like, when you're at work, you should just think about work. And most employers here would say, that's a great idea. And you know, that doesn't mean you don't work hard, but I think we do need to be not, in our lives, we need to be focused on the person and building a relationship beyond just the work or, you know, whether it's the sports or the whatever it is. Especially as believers, we need to have these relationships go beyond that. We need accountability. We need to be heard sometimes. We need to be able to share with people. And we can have people amongst us that feel alone, feel lonely. We need to be able to make them feel welcome to be vulnerable, to open up. Yeah, let's turn over to Proverbs in chapter 18. It says there in verse 24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's a challenge. I think that's a challenge to us to, and a challenge for us to have deep relationships. So to just cover what we've we've talked about here this morning. Friendship is God's design. It's a gift from God, and it's something that we should enjoy. We should enjoy our friendships that we have. We shouldn't take them for granted. We should enjoy the things that we can do together, you know, whether it's dirt biking or it's, you know, playing chess or maybe working together. We shouldn't take these things for granted. We all have limited time, and people come and go in our lives. We should love the friends that God has given us. That may look different in each friendship. Some people need an encouraging word. Some people need a listening ear. Real friendships will go through tough times, and both people will grow as they help each other and remain in Christ. And Jesus commanded us to love each other, even knowing that it wasn't going to be easy for us. Another thing to consider is that our friendships aren't limited to believers. We are to love all people. There's a balance in life. We need to be part of the body, to be encouraged and loved by fellow believers. But we need to also love all people and persuade them to follow Christ. So that was what Jesus wanted the disciples to do, to love each other, to grow, to abide in the Lord, and they were to go out. Let's turn to John chapter 17. Says there in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And then over to verse 23. Second half of that verse there, it says, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So our friendships should not just be amongst believers, but as we are in different parts of our lives, we should affect people and build these deep relationships with even non-believers. We should, so that we can show them that we care about them, we love them. If we can't even do that with believers, how are we going to do that with unbelievers? Isn't it so important that we have that foundation and we have good support in our church here? We can grow together. We can form deep friendships. None of this is said to make people feel bad or to feel like, oh well. And I'm trying to encourage us and to consider how we spend our time and to take the opportunities, the friendships that we do have, and to grow them, to be intentional in those relationships. Well, why don't we pray, and then we'll close off. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I thank you that we could be here this morning as fellow believers, as people who want to follow you, Lord. And following you is not always easy. And we need your help. We need to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Help us to do that. Thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. You came into this broken world, and you cared to rescue us, and you taught us how to live, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you that you loved those disciples, and you taught them. And they shared with others. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, I just pray that you would go with us now, and just thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.